The challenge of making ends meet each month is a familiar one to many families across the UK. A significant minority, estimated to be around 30% of the population, have an income which falls below the level deemed necessary for a decent standard of living.
Not all in this group are living in poverty. Many are able to get by. But money feels tight month after month, earning more than the poorest in society, but less than might be deemed sufficient for a decent standard of living, is a position that many find themselves in.
This group has become known as just about managing families, or JAMS for short. Essex County Council, like many local authorities, often know less about this group than they do about their residents experiencing deprivation.
Because this is not a group typically using many services, there are fewer existing touchpoints between the local authority and these families. This means that in the council, there is a bit of a knowledge gap about JAM families, their experiences of day-to-day life in the county, and what needs they have.
It's that knowledge gap that we're going to try to address in this podcast. I'm Lucy, a research director from the independent research agency Britain Thinks, and together with my colleague Tom, one of our senior research executives, we'll be explaining the research we conducted into the lived experience of just about managing families living in Essex, their priorities, financial situation, and approach to planning for the future. Our focus in this project was on just about managing, or JAM, families, single parent and dual parent families with school-aged children living in different areas of Essex. On behalf of the council, we conducted research with this group at the beginning of 2020 to build their understanding of JAM families.
We focused on JAM families' experience of living on an insufficient income, coping with financial pressure to make ends meet, and the impact of this situation on family budgets and consumption patterns. We also explored the aspirations of these families and the factors which aid their social mobility.
We used a qualitative research approach over two phases. We began by holding focus groups with the parents of JAM families in Chelmsford, Colchester, Basildon and Harlow to hear about their experience of managing a family on a limited income.
In the second phase, we conducted a month of ethnographic research with 14 families to build a picture over time. Ethnographic research is a way researchers can get to understand people's lives in a much richer way than just by asking them questions. The researcher will also learn about participants by observing, shadowing, and interacting with them as they go about their daily lives.
We're going to talk through some of the most important findings from this research, starting by taking a look at the range of different mindsets and experiences within this cohort. JAM families are not a homogenous group. Instead, we found it helpful to think of there being three subgroups, or typologies, which capture the diversity of experience within the JAM cohort. Let's begin by explaining what we mean by that and by meeting some of the people who participated in the research.
Our starting point for defining JAM families was income level. But it became clear that JAM families do not define themselves by their income alone. Instead, they consider themselves ordinary working parents.
When we asked participants what they thought of the phrase, just about managing, most felt it summed up their financial situation, but suggested that it didn't reflect other aspects of their lives. The parents in our research pointed to their family lives in particular, which they work to ensure are fulfilling and varied in spite of their financial situation. In many areas, they felt they're doing more than simply managing.
It also became clear that there's a range of experiences within this group, and that JAM families are not all in exactly the same situation. The ability of JAM families to cope with their current financial situation differs, and, linked to this, their ability to make plans for the future differs as well.
Rather than think of JAM families as a single group only, we identified three typologies which capture the breadth of this experience. The three typologies, from those who are finding it most difficult through to those who are most stable, are the precarious warriors, the stationary settlers, and the practical planners. We're going to talk through each typology in turn and introduce three of our participants who fall into each of these groups.
The typology who find it most difficult to cope with their current situation and most difficult to plan for the future are the precarious worriers. They are in an insecure financial situation and struggle to see a way out. As a result, their priority for the future is minimizing risk and achieving stability.
James is a self-employed computer engineer, living with his fiancée and their 2-year-old son. He also has 2 teenage daughters from a previous relationship. As a sole trader, James's financial situation feels precarious. He relies on 2 key clients for around 2/3 of his income and would be in trouble if he lost their work.
Currently, we're not able to plan much future at the moment. We're kind of living month to month. Everything that comes in pretty much goes out. So there's no real savings there at all. When looking towards the future, I kind of feel a bit pessimistic, not just for myself, but for my family. I mean, I worry for my children being able to get on the property market. I can't see it ever getting much better than it is now. It's only ever going to go upwards for ourselves. By the time I've got no private pension being a sole trader. I worry that when I'm older, the state pension just won't exist. By the time I get there, or if it does, it'll be basically useless. So I'm a bit pessimistic on that side of it.
This pessimism about the future is typical of people in this group. We'll hear a bit more from James later.
The second of our 3 typologies are the stationary settlers. This group experiences financial difficulty, but are largely able to manage their situation. And when looking ahead to the future, they don't expect their situation to change a great deal.
Let's meet another participant falling into this group. Elaine is a single mum to a teenage son. She's been working for the same employer for 34 years. Between working full-time, looking after her son, and caring for her elderly parents, Elaine doesn't feel she has much time to spare each week. She describes her finances as tight, but feels that it's now something she's got under control.
I work locally, 3 miles away, 5 days a week. I work in administration in water quality, and I prevent contamination in the water industry. I've been working there for 34 years almost, in different roles in that time. The finances are something I've almost got down to a T. But when it comes to about the third of the month, when my mortgage comes out, my ex-husband's maintenance comes in and everything else is covered, I literally don't have much money left over. So my food and my petrol tend to go on the credit card.
Being in control of your finances, yet still having very little left over at the end of each month, is an experience we heard about from multiple participants in the stationary settlers group.
The final of our 3 typologies are the group which feel most capable of coping with their current financial situation and are able to spend some time planning for their future. This group are the practical planners. While these families may be experiencing financial difficulty currently, they have some clear future milestones on the horizon which make it likely that their situation will improve, allowing them to plan ahead.
Our participant from this group, Marina, is a single mum to a teenage daughter living in Harlow. When her daughter was younger, she struggled with debt, but she has since worked hard to get on top of her finances. She is passionate about her work as a prison officer, and having recently applied for extra training, is hopeful that she will be able to increase her earnings in the future.
So within my work, obviously I've applied for extra training within the service that I do. Obviously, because this isn't just a job for me, this is my career. And I want it to be a fulfilled career that I can look back on and think, well, I actually made a difference and I've done really well at that. I'd like to think that within the next year, I'm saving enough so I can buy this property. Obviously, it's council. I'd like to buy it off the council to give Charlotte a little nest egg.
Marina's experience shows the importance of those in this group having something tangible to aim for, such as progression in work.
So although our starting point for defining JAM families is income level, this is not necessarily how they see themselves. And within the cohort, there are differences in the ability of JAM families to cope with their current financial situation and to plan for the future, as represented by our 3 different typologies.
Let's now dig a little deeper into the financial situation of JAM families and look at some common challenges and coping strategies. The need to get by on an insufficient income means that all JAM families find themselves in an uncertain financial situation month to month. They have enough to cover the essentials, such as food, rent, and bills, but there is often not much left over at the end of each month.
This has several effects. Not only can it have a psychological impact, but on a practical level, it leaves JAM families with little resilience to cope with unexpected costs and forces most to rely on credit.
Starting with the psychological impact of this situation, it is clear that money management on a limited income takes an emotional and mental toll, leaving the parents of JAM families with limited mental energy or bandwidth for thinking about much else. Here's Becky, a mum to 2 6-year-old children, talking about the emotional and psychological impact of her financial situation.
It's stressful and it's tiring and it's every single month. And I'm a planner, so I do like to kind of know what I'm doing and what I'm not doing. And it's very hard to plan for something that you don't know if you are going to be able to do. It's very time consuming as well. And it's also quite disappointing, or it can be quite disappointing. There are a lot of things that I would like to do, as everybody would, I guess. And having the uncertainty of knowing whether or not we can do that is quite draining.
There are three key factors contributing to this limited mental bandwidth. First, getting by on a limited income each month is stressful. The parents of JAM families we heard from described the constant concern as draining. As one parent in Colchester told us, it's just always there. You feel like it's a constant battle getting through the month.
Second, JAM families are constantly weighing up the financial impact of each decision they make. Every decision made on behalf of the family is evaluated with cost in mind. This can feel constraining, particularly when these are decisions about things for their children, such as school trips.
And thirdly, linked to this, the parents we heard from described the guilt they feel in those moments in which they're forced to say no to their children. One of the priorities for JAM families is to limit the impact of their financial situation on their children, meaning that these moments are all the more difficult.
Those three factors taken together, the stress, the need to evaluate each decision financially, and the guilt, are mentally and emotionally draining. This leaves little mental bandwidth for thinking beyond the here and now. We'll come to talk in a bit more detail about the importance of this when thinking about social mobility a little later. But first, let's dig into what happens to these families when an unexpected cost comes along.
The financial situation of JAM families also makes them vulnerable to the impact of unexpected costs. With finances tightly planned each month, JAM families have very little flex to cover any costs not originally accounted for. The knock-on impact of this can be significant. Here's Elaine again, describing the impact on the family of a boiler that she was unable to replace for a year.
Everybody has unexpected costs occasionally, and for me, I needed a new boiler. Mine broke. I didn't have any hot water. Not having enough money to buy a new boiler, $2,500 was the minimum. I had to suffer for a year, almost to the day, where I had to live like that. So it was difficult, but I managed to save up £1,000 in that time and then looked into different quotes. Funnily enough, it was something my hairdresser mentioned about one of her clients had got an interest-free credit card and bought a car on it because it was cheaper than getting a loan. So I looked into it and I managed to get a credit card for 2 years with 0% interest.
What Elaine's situation demonstrates is the sacrifice JAM families may have to make when encountering an unexpected cost. Many of the families we spoke to described putting off essential maintenance work through lack of options.
Elaine's situation also demonstrates the reliance on credit as a coping strategy employed by JAM families. Most see borrowing and credit as an unavoidable facet of managing a family on a limited income, and a certain level of debt as a necessary evil. But this is one area where we found differences between our three typologies.
precarious warriors may be dealing with personal debt that is in danger of getting out of hand. Those we spoke to in this group had mounting debt across a number of different sources and were finding it increasingly difficult to meet those minimum payments.
Stationary settlers may rely on credit habitually, but feel more in control. They may have a repayment plan and path out of debt, even if they expect to be making payments for some time.
Practical planners, finally, are in a stronger position. They may rely on their overdraft occasionally, or use credit cards to help with cash flow. But, crucially, they do not feel burdened by debt when looking ahead to the future.
So, the financial situation of JAM families has a psychological impact, leaves them with little resilience to cope with the unexpected, and forces most to rely on credit at various points. This is a situation which makes it difficult to think about and plan for the future. This is important to bear in mind as we discuss the final topic covered in this podcast, the aspirations of JAM families and factors which aid their social mobility.
One of our key objectives going into this research was to understand how social mobility fits into this picture. Essex County Council is committed to improve social mobility and raise levels of aspirations for its residents. But what does this look like in the context of the busy lives of JAM families?
In order to frame our research in this area in terms that our participants could relate to, we focused our questions on participants' plans for the future. By framing the research in this way, we found that the ability to plan ahead often relies on feeling stable and in control in the present.
We asked participants to plot the next 20 years of their life and their children's lives onto a timeline and to talk us through what they hoped would happen, what they thought was likely to happen, and any worries or anxieties. It was striking how difficult many found it to plan or even think that far ahead.
We've talked already about how the financial situation of JAM families leads to limited mental bandwidth for thinking beyond the here and now. In addition to this, there were two other factors making it difficult for JAM families to plan ahead.
Many don't feel in control of their future due to not having savings to rely on or different options available in the job market. And many describe their lives being on hold while their children are young, meaning that they feel limited in how much they can change until they have more independence.
When we prompted our participants on their plans for the future in greater detail, it was clear that there were some common goals that JAM families had for the future. These are often short-term, achievable, and tangible goals, rather than wholesale upheavals to their current ways of life. Three common goals for the future were achieving financial stability, increasing family time, and finding or staying in housing suitable for their family.
Here's Becky again, reflecting on some of her priorities for the future. Becky and her fiancé are currently burdened with large mortgage payments each month. They like their family home and want to remain there while their children grow up. However, Becky is considering that it might be best to move if that makes it easier to achieve financial stability.
I think the best thing would be to sell the house, buy a smaller one with a manageable mortgage so that any extra money can go towards the children's future. I have no savings for myself. I have no savings for the family. I have no money to further their education currently. Everything is very daily and monthly. So that's one way that we can recoup a little bit of money so that we can actually focus on them having a future instead of just kind of muddling through each day.
We also encouraged parents from JAM families to talk us through their expectations and aspirations for their children's future. They were typically relaxed about what their children might do and achieve in the future. The common refrain we heard was that they would not push their children into things they would not enjoy, as long as they were happy.
JAM families expressed a wish not to control their children's decisions too much, and most felt they would have a limited ability to do so, even if they wanted to. Again, this comes back to that feeling of limited control over certain aspects of the future.
Many were pessimistic about the housing market and felt that there were many factors out of their control in the job market too. James, the computer engineer and sole trader we heard from earlier, described his approach as laid back. he wants his two teenage daughters to find their own way based on their different interests.
My approach to planning for my children's future is it's quite laid back, really. I don't think there's too much I can control. Hope loves school and studying. She will definitely go to university, I suspect. Cost of that would be a massive worry. I've got any money I could give to her, unfortunately. Grace is more like me. She hates school. Her favourite time of day is 3:30 when the bell rings. I'm sort of trying to steer her towards apprenticeships. Obviously, she'd get a job, hopefully at the end of the apprenticeship. She earns a little bit of money in between. I think that would be much better for her. At the end of the day, I think they need to be happy and find their own way. If they're not enjoying something, then it's not worth doing, I don't think.
By encouraging JAM families to think through their predictions and ambitions for the future, it helped us to understand how social mobility relates to their everyday lives.
In our focus groups, we define social mobility as the achievement of a better standard of living, either over the course of your life or from one generation to the next. When presented in this way, as an abstract concept unrelated to its practical results, social mobility did not seem to relate to the actual lives and ambitions of JAM families.
One single parent in Chelmsford summed it up by saying, "There's an assumption within this that everyone should be moving up, but what we should be doing is putting things in place which allow people to have a decent quality of life."
To borrow the phrase used by our participant, moving up was less important to JAM families than making it easier to get by. Their focus is often on making their situation easier in the present and achieving those short-term, tangible goals in the future.
Let's finish by reflecting on what we've learnt and what the implications of these findings are in light of coronavirus.
Our first key finding was that JAM families are not a homogenous group. Instead, there are a range of experiences and attitudes even within this cohort. They can be better understood as three typologies: the precarious worriers, stationary settlers, and practical planners.
This means that not all JAM families entered lockdown from the same starting point. There were varying levels of financial resilience within the group, meaning that the financial impact of coronavirus will vary in severity.
Second, we found that the need to get by on an insufficient income leaves JAM families with little mental bandwidth to think beyond the here and now. And they are also vulnerable to the impact of unexpected costs.
Most JAM families were entering lockdown with no savings. Those whose incomes were negatively impacted by coronavirus had very little financial resilience, meaning that going from just about managing to not managing could happen almost instantly.
Finally, we found that social mobility felt relevant to JAM families as long as it was focused on helping them achieve tangible goals in future, but that the ability to plan for these things relies on feeling stable and in control in the present.
Lockdown and coronavirus have removed that stability and sense of control for many JAM families, meaning that the ability to plan for the future is more difficult now than ever. Priorities are now focused on the immediate future and the need to regain that stability where possible.
Thank you for listening. If you're interested in hearing more about the research findings or reading our report in full, you can get in touch with Essex County Council's research team by emailing research@essex.gov.uk.